Hello and welcome. I'm Tracy Jules, and you're listening to my very first podcast of Scary Stories and Screenplays. In this episode, I bring to life my newest short screenplay, Attrition. It is about a young man, Brandon, that is being haunted by the ghost of a co-worker he barely knew. As the story unfolds, Brandon falls into a few perilous situations. But that's all I'm going to share for now. Tonight, we will be doing a creative take on the traditional table read. Our actors reading the roles are Sam Jules in the role of Brandon, Darius Warren as his best friend Philippe, Carolyn Gazalski as Sharon, Aaron Cessna as Allie, Patrick Higgs as Carl, and Cortina Jackson as our detective and Lisa. And without further ado, I give to you Attrition. Exterior apartment building night. A small apartment building, nicely maintained, located in a suburban neighborhood. It's late evening. Most lights in the apartments are out, but one of these has the blue light flicker of a television set bouncing off the thin curtains closed to the outside world. Interior apartment continuous. The apartment is typical but sparsely decorated in the living room. A simple couch, chair, small flat screen television with a gaming console, and a coffee table stacked with books tell us a little bit about the occupant. A few titles are 1984, The Art of War, To Kill a Mockingbird, Nietzsche, to name a few. A minimalist lives here, or there is lack of funds for furniture, or lack of interest. The walls are void of personal photos, but the refrigerator boasts several of a couple in their 20s with magnets commemorating national parks. Inside the bedroom sleeps Brandon Grayson, 20s, ruggedly handsome and fit. His degree hangs above his head, magnum cum laude. The bedroom is minimal too. A flat screen television sits on top of a box. It plays a late night infomercial. Something sinister is lurking just outside of his closed bedroom door. A heavy presence changes the moment as the door to his bedroom slowly creaks open. Brandon does not stir. A shadow passes in front of the television, altering the light that dances across his face. The darkness of the figure comes forward, sitting on the opposite side of the bed he's facing. It's the hips of a woman in a blue suit. His eyes open, having felt the depression of the bed.
Olivia?
No response. He turns his head. Nothing is there. He sinks back into his pillow and closes his eyes. Brandon feels movement from the side of the bed. His breathing quickens, and he reaches for a small baton sitting by the light. He turns on the light, stands up, looking around frantic. But nothing is seen. He exhales. Relief. Exterior apartment building morning. Brandon is headed out of the building to his car. He stops at his driver's side door, grabs the handle, the car beeps, and he casually looks up at his living room window where he only briefly sees a brunette woman, 50s, in a blue suit. He does a double take. A passing car throws light and shadows across his living room window. She's gone. He gives in to this thought. He must have seen a shadow. He gets in the car, looks up at the window again, then shakes it off. Interior office morning. Brandon heads to his cubicle through the door that says IT department. He takes his seat next to Philippe, early 20s, African-American, nerdy but sturdy, and the kind of friend you can count on no matter what.
What's up, dude?
Nothing, man. Not a damn thing. Church got me working on the Wexler account today. You know that mother...
Dude, no, seriously? I'm so sorry, man.
Well, I guess it's my turn to deal with that idiot. Jeez. Yeah, I'll leave.
Brandon sits at his desk and fires up his computer. He pulls a breakfast bagel out of his leather bag and sets his Starbucks down. It's apparent his mind is elsewhere. He wants to say something to Philippe, but draws back.
Breakfast of champions.
You can afford it. You know, I'll get overtime working on this, but at what price?
I get it. I do. Hey, do you, remember the head of HR that died like 5 months ago?
Philippe stops working the keyboard.
You mean Sharon? I do. Why?
He's frozen for a moment.
What about her?
Okay, this is weird, right?
Oh, shit. You going weird on me first thing Monday morning, huh? I think I need my coffee first, son.
What? Like, what did she die of?
You don't know. She was killed in a car accident. You didn't go to the wake?
No, I didn't know her.
She was the head of HR. She interviewed you. She hired you.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Don't think you do. So, why are you asking? That's the weird shit right then and there?
I thought I saw a reflection of her in my apartment, in that blue suit she wore, and I swear I felt her. It was...
Shit, man, that's weird.
What? Are you serious or are you joking with me?
No, I'm serious. She was buried in that blue suit. Looks like you saw a ghost, my man. Congratulations.
Philippe is making some slight fun of this as he gets up, grabs his empty coffee cup, and exits. Cut to interior living room night. The television screen light fills the room. Brandon has his headset on and he is actively in a fight trying to clear a level on his gaming system.
Okay, get ready to run in. Three, in the window in the Mocha Joe. No, three! My shit. That was... No, behind you! Go. Yes. Watch out! Oh, what the... How the fuck are we still alive?
Fade to... Later. Brandon is sleeping in a sitting position. His television screen has a frozen photo of his character he was playing in the game. It illuminates the room. The dark presence begins to filter in, changing the feel of a quiet room to a strong and ominous darkness that seems to be floating across the room. Brandon exhales cold breath. His eyes pop open, afraid to look around, but he does. He strains to see something without moving, hoping to find nothing, but he sees a hue of blue. It moves on his left by the curtains covering the window. He sits straight up and immediately stands. He watches the curtains. They move ever so slightly, probably from the air of his quick movement. He stares for a long moment. He hits the button on the remote and the room goes dark. He boldly walks to the bedroom without any lights between the rooms, fighting off the fear the best he can. But he can feel the tension. He flips on a light in his bedroom. Relief. A soft whisper calls his name from the living room. He closes the door, locks it, and turns on two more lights in his room. He will sleep this way all night. Interior bedroom morning. Brandon wakes up to the alarm. All lights still on. He turns them off getting out of bed and it's clear by his face he didn't sleep well. Brandon is exiting his apartment to head to work. Carl, the superintendent, he's 40s, freakishly skinny, tattooed, and smoking a cigarette as if it's the love of his life. He's in the hallway touching up a gouge. It startles Brandon.
Scared you, did I? What's got your panties all in a bunch?
No, they're not. It's just... I didn't expect to see you there, that's all. Panties, motherfucker.
Brandon's grossed out, locks his place, and heads down the stairs. Carl watches everything he does as if he's in control of his behavior and grading it good or bad. Interior office later. Brandon, headset on, focused on his computer screen, sees the hue of a blue suit reflect behind him. He nervously turns to see the color blue flee the corner of his eye.
That's it, Mr. Randall. You're all set.
He's looking around the office. No one is in blue.
Yes, you're welcome, Mr.
Hey, man. Whoa! Dude! You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just didn't see you there, that's all.
Drew and I were going to go to Whataburger for lunch today. You want to join?
Yeah, sure.
Things okay, man? You, like, good or what?
Just on the phone with somebody. I gotta log it now.
He types on the keyboard, but he's scanning the screen for a reflection. He faintly sees Sharon's face, but it disappears quickly.
Somebody? Hey, no offense, but man, what's up? I mean, what's got you?
Me? Nothing.
Don't look like nothing to me.
Do you know how you find those people that get rid of ghosts?
Ghosts? Oh, I mean, we going there again, huh? Come on, no, man. I mean, I've seen some of those shows, but, you know, talk to Allie in the county. She's all about that shit. Goes on ghost hunts and stuff.
Allie? Really? Okay.
You know, I know it's only been a few months since Olivia left you and took all your furniture and stuff. Are you sure it's not that?
Brandon doesn't want the words to cross his lips. He's holding it back, but lets it go.
Dude, I've seen her a few times, and it's always, like, fleeting, you know?
Olivia?
What? No. Sharon. Seriously, but I don't... I mean, I didn't even know her. So why the hell am I seeing her?
Philippe picks up his phone and starts texting.
Oh, am I boring you?
No, dude, I hear you. I'm texting Allie. She's meeting us for lunch.
It's almost comforting to Brandon. Cut to interior restaurant later. Brandon sits across from Allie, late 20s, confident, won't stop talking. Philippe and Drew, 30s, conservative, dig into the food that was dropped off on the table.
So I took my girlfriend on this ghost tour, and there's like all these newbies there, you know? They got their EVP wrist recorder, their EMF readers, a laser grid, you know, stuff like that. And all she and I brought, because we were late, you know, was a camera. A freaking camera.
Brandon eats while she's engaged.
And guess who got the fucking juice? Us! We did! I tell you, it was fucking magical. There we were, left in a room alone, and Becky says, look at that. So I point the camera, but I got it on film, and I caught it on tape. I did. I mean, we had to play it, like, back and in, like, slow motion, but there it is, a doll moved ever so slightly, all on its own. It was a fucking spectacle.
She waits for a great response from Brandon. He obliges.
Yeah.
It was the best night of my life. So... what you got going on?
Oh, well...
he thinks he's got a ghost.
You live in an old building?
Squinting as if the sun is in his eyes, he's trying to figure out how much he should confess to.
Well, I guess.
Do any new construction?
The other day the superintendent was fixing a hole in the hallway across from...
That's it. Messing with what they knew. Always stirs ghosts up.
Well, actually, Brandon knows
that. I know that it is a female ghost, but that's about it.
So you saw it? Oh, I'd love to come over and...
No, I didn't see it. No, felt it, yes. And maybe see it out of the corner of my eye, but I can tell it's...
He's lying to himself.
I just want to make it go away.
Is it aggressive?
No, not at all.
Okay. Then you should smudge. That should get rid of it.
Smudge?
Yeah, you like light sage, burn it, open all your cupboards and doors and tell it to leave. It goes away. Seen it done a million times.
Oh. Okay. How do I, how does one...
I've got sage in my car. I'll give it to you on the way out and I'll give you a charm to say. After you use it, just bring it to work.
Philippe looks at him as Allie sucks down the last of her soda. Drew races her to the finish first. He nods in agreement.
Told you she'd take care of you.
Brandon smiles at Allie, but his faith is minimal. Interior apartment later that night. Brandon has all the kitchen cabinets open, windows, closets, and a stick of sage in his hand. The end is slowly smoking. He fans it with a feather. He walks over to the table and looks down at the handwritten note Allie gave him.
I mean you no harm. You must go to the light. There is nothing for you here. Smoke, air... fire, earth, cleanse and bless this home and hearth. Drive away harm and fear. Only positive energy can enter here.
Fade to interior bedroom night. Brandon is sleeping in bed. The flicker of the television light transitions across his walls, lighting them up at different times. The familiar blue suit walks up to the bed. She leans towards his head. That's turned to the other side. He takes a deep breath and rolls over onto his back. she calls him once more. This time he hears it. His eyes pop open.
My nails are still growing.
Brandon's confused.
Go away!
Frightened, he sits up quickly, looking around, his heart pounding, altering his breath. Not sure if he will get a response, and he actually doesn't want one because he's scared. The room seems calm, quiet now. He lays back down with a large exhale. Brandon rolls to his side and closes his eyes.
Brandon.
Slowly, he turns his head to where he heard it, and he sees her. Her face is decaying from the person he knew. She holds up 10 jagged, broken, blackened nails and screams.
Look at me! This is Louis!
Oh my God!
He gets up, turns the light on. She's gone. Interior living room, morning. Brandon, eyes weary, has his laptop on the coffee table, a large coffee cup, and his phone next to it. He gets a text from Philippe.
You coming to work today, bro?
Nah, dude. Working from home today.
He places his headset on, plugs it in, gets to work. Some time has elapsed. But that familiar hue of blue fills the space briefly. It catches his eye. It fades before him, making the hair stand up on the back of his neck.
Go away.
Brandon.
He stands, turning in every direction.
What? What? What do you want? Just go the fuck away. Why? I don't...
Look at me!
She appears opposite him, flying across the room into his face. She's grotesque and decaying, her hair no longer coiffed, those jagged nails reaching out. She whimpers.
Help me!
She crumbles to the floor and disappears. He stumbles back into the couch, melts, almost crying. Montage. Brandon, standing in the kitchen, washing dishes while Sharon stands beside him, whispering. He looks tormented. He throws the dish towel down and picks up a full bottle of medication. She runs her long, jagged nails down the back of his neck. He drops the pills back on the counter and exits. Half the dishes remain dirty. Brandon, typing as he talks to a customer, Sharon slides her jagged nails across his keyboard.
I'll call you back.
Brandon, doing push-ups in the living room, he rolls over onto his back and begins crunches. Sharon appears above him. He immediately rolls over and begins push-ups again. Brandon at the door when pizza is delivered. He opens the box and sees her decaying face.
Ugh.
He closes it,
really?
Reaches in without looking and grabs a piece, checks it out, then eats it. Brandon, brushing his teeth, as he bends down to spit, she appears behind him looking ghoulish. He looks up, but looks away before making eye contact with her, his hands trembling. Interior bedroom night. Brandon in bed, television on. Sharon hovers above him. She whispers,
"If you dig me up and keep me here until I'm completely decomposed, you can incinerate pieces of me into ash and dispose of them. Once you do that, I will be free. My nails will stop growing, my hair, and then my spirit will be at rest. I will leave you."
He changes the channel.
"Please, I was supposed to be cremated. If you do this for me, I will stop haunting you. You have my word."
Brandon rolls to his side, his thoughts occupying his life. She fades with a sadness. Exterior cemetery, night. Brandon's muscles glisten with sweat in the moonlight as he digs in the ground, tossing dirt above and behind him. He disappears briefly and pulls Sharon's stiff body out, laying her on the blanket that he's brought. He covers her up and begins tossing the dirt back in. Exterior, apartment building, later. Brandon's car pulls up and parks. He looks around after getting out of the car, then opens the back door and begins to remove her stiff, covered body. Interior, Carl's apartment, continuous. Carl sits on his couch watching television. The car door gets his attention. He watches Brandon through the window.
Well, that don't look like a fucking body.
Lisa, biker girl thick, Carl's girlfriend, puts her phone down.
What? Let me see.
Carl covers up some of the windows so they're not noticed.
Can't be. It's stiff like a surfboard. And he's bringing it in the house.
Carl looks again and watches Brandon, who looks suspicious. He watches until he's out of sight. He leans back into the couch. She's back on her phone. His curiosity is growing. Carl gets up and grabs the newest bag of garbage.
Be right back.
She doesn't even notice. Exterior apartment house. Carl is straining to look into Brandon's windows. Interior, Brandon's apartment. Brandon sets Sharon in the chair in his living room and positions it by the window. He doesn't notice Carl. He pushes down on her hips to bend the dry muscles and tendons. They crack, pop, giving way to his strength. He does this with her legs. Brandon looks at Sharon's decay. It's not as horrific as she appeared to him last, but it still scares him. He disappears for a moment, then returns with a lace black tablecloth. Awkwardly approaching her.
Okay. This is from Halloween. Olivia left it behind.
He covers her with the see-through cloth.
This is just a... There. Okay, that's, good.
Brandon walks into the kitchen, grabs a garbage bag, and begins undressing. He throws all of his clothes in, gets redressed in the bedroom, and stops in the living room before heading out the door.
I'm, gonna throw these out. No evidence, you know. I'll be right back.
Exterior, general garbage area, continuous. Brandon walks up to the garbage cans of the residence building. It's very dark. He opens one can and Carl steps out from the shadows behind the cans.
Oh, holy fuck, dude!
You're a jumpy mother, ain't you?
Jumpy? Yeah, you're in the dark hiding, so yeah, what the fuck?
I'm not hiding. There's no cameras here.
There's what?
No camera.
Brandon gets nervous.
Lisa's trying to get me to quit. She can't see me here.
He points to the camera at the far end, pointing the other direction and away from the door he just exited.
Anywhere else she can see me, but here. And this end of the building. Nothing.
Okay. You enjoy that, now?
Brandon throws his garbage in the can. Carl loves his cigarette some more.
I will.
Brandon walks away.
Crazy fuck.
Carl eyes him with curiosity. Interior, living room, morning. Brandon is leaving for work. He pauses at the door.
Okay. I'm gonna go to work now. Thanks for not bothering me in my sleep last night.
It's dead silent.
Okay. Bye.
Interior, Carl's apartment. Carl watches Brandon leave and heads out of his apartment. He stops outside Brandon's door, takes out his apartment keys, and unlocks the door handle. Interior, living room. As soon as he enters, he notices Sharon in the chair.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know anyone was here. I came in to fix... just tell him I'll come back when he's not home and... going to fix, you know, another place. You have a good day now.
Carl closes the door and curses at himself silently. Exterior, apartment building, later. It's dusk. Brandon pulls in and parks. He walks past Carl, who is fixing a lawn sprinkler.
Oh, hey man, needed to update your, thermostat today. Didn't know you had company. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
Brandon walks away.
Company? Olivia!
His face is filled with life. Interior, living room, continuous. Brandon enters filled with excitement.
Olivia? Liv! I knew you'd live.
He nervously checks the rooms, then he realizes she's not there. Carl saw Sharon. He rushes into the living room. He's panicked and pacing.
He saw you.
It's not like I could leave.
He saw you! Oh, God, I'm done. We're done.
Not so fast. You said yourself he scared you, smoking where there's no cameras.
So?
Fade to later that night. Exterior, general garbage area. Carl takes a deep drag on a cigarette in the darkness. It lights up his face. Brandon is approaching with a garbage bag in his hand and a pipe in the other. He walks right up to Carl and without hesitation, he begins hitting him. No remorse, no let up. He continues until Carl crumples in a bloody mess on the ground. Dead. He doesn't touch the body. Brandon takes a step back and is wearing garbage bags over his body. He takes them off carefully, then removes the plastic gloves and puts them in the garbage bags he was wearing. He pulls out a small bottle of lighter fluid and melts the bag. He undresses to his underwear, places his clothes in the additional bag. Blood is beginning to flow near his feet. He backs up and coolly walks away with the bag of clothing. Interior bedroom morning. Brandon wakes up refreshed. He feels nothing but a good rested night. Exterior apartment building. There's a flurry of police activity outside as well as bystanders gawking. As Brandon is about to open his car door, he is approached by a female detective. They talk and he allows himself to react shocked. Then he looks to where the detective pointed and shakes his head. He's pulling it off.
So you didn't hear anything or see anything when you returned home?
No, I wish I had. That's horrible. Who would do something like that?
That's what we're assessing.
Brandon glances over to the activity with a sad look on his face, and flashbacks of him burying the bag in Sharon's grave fill his head.
That's just so tragic. Why? What? Why would someone do this to him?
We're investigating it now. Turns out he owed a lot of money to some bad people, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
She's checking him out.
And your contact number, in case I have any more questions.
Of course.
Interior office, 5 months later. Brandon is happy, working at his desk. He's actively hitting the keys.
There you go, Mr. Wexler. You are all set. It's always a pleasure, sir. You have a good day now. Thank you. You too.
Philippe walks in, upset, heads right to Brandon.
Dude.
It's deep. There's something wrong.
Yes?
Dude.
What?
I can't believe
it. Believe what?
I don't know how to say this, but...
What? Say it.
Brandon's mind is wandering fast.
Drew is dead. He died a week ago at home from the flu, and his mom just called to work today to tell us. A week ago! What the hell?
Brandon's almost relieved.
Oh. Shit. Drew. Like... our Drew?
He nods.
He was our age.
A little older.
What?
That doesn't matter. It's so upsetting.
Philippe is heartbroken. Interior, bedroom, night. Brandon is lying in bed, flipping through the stations and settles on Rick and Morty. He fluffs his pillow and laughs. It's about an hour later. Brandon is sleeping. There's a heavy thud just outside of his door. Then another. Slowly, the door handle begins to open. An almost zombie walk of a human enters the room. Thud. 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 This wakes Brandon, but he smells something. Something horrific. He sits up, looking around his room, illuminated by the television. There's a plate next to his bed with a slice of pizza on it. He picks it up and sniffs. Not it. The smell comes across his nose again. He looks to the other side of the bed that is in the shadows and sees a rotting hand reaching up over the bed.
He
jumps up and turns on the light. Slowly, he walks over to that side. Nothing. Just as he turns around, a rotting face flush with dripping putrid fluids, gasping for air, tries to speak to him. The smell is so horrific he nearly hurls, then runs out of the room. Interior, living room, continuous. Brandon runs into the living room, turning on all the lights. Sharon is still in her chair, minus her legs and one arm.
Why are you doing this? You promised!
She doesn't say anything. Thud, thud, thud behind him. The smell is back. Brandon turns to see the rotting corpse of his friend Drew.
He screams
with his fist.
No! Go away!
Drew barely walks, dragging each foot, reaching with one hand towards Brandon.
No! Go away! Go!
Brandon closes his eyes tight, perspiring. He opens his eyes. He's gone. Brandon rushes into the kitchen, grabbing his phone, and calls Philippe.
Brandon?
The ghost. The ghost, they're back.
Dude, slow down. Take a deep breath.
No, you don't get it. They're back. They're back.
There's a pause.
Dude, I have to ask. Have you been taking your meds?
What?
Your medication. Like, it's happening again. You're not off your meds, are you? The schizophrenia is nothing to mess with, man. It can screw with your head.
Brandon looks at his counter. There's a new bag with medicine in it. He opens it and takes out two new bottles.
Right here, man. They're right here. I just got two brand new bottles.
Interior, Philip's bed. Continuous.
Good. Good, dude. I was worried about you when Olivia left, the first ghost, and then this happened. I thought, you know, maybe, you know. But good. You keep taking it. Man, I'm sorry I went there. I'm just glad you're doing the right thing. Proud of you, man. Buddy, you there?
Interior, kitchen, continuous. Brandon is staring at six bottles of the same medication he just took out of the bag. He slides the two new bottles, 90-count tablets, over to match all of the other full bottles of medication labeled olanzapine and lithium. He makes them all perfectly straight.
I'm here. I'm good. You know, I thought I saw something, got scared, but nothing's there. I know what I have to do now.
What you have to do. And what's that?
Go to sleep. That's it. Work before. I need rest. It's okay. I'm good, bro. I'm just sorry I bothered you.
It's no problem, man. You call me when you need me. Anytime. I mean that. I don't care. You got that.
Brandon hangs up the phone, walks out to Sharon, and looks at the pieces he's removed of her. Fade to. Exterior, cemetery, later. Brandon is waist deep in a grave, throwing dirt over his shoulder. Several wreaths of flowers have fallen to the side. One wreath has a banner across the center with gold lettering. It reads, Drew. Fade to black. Thank you for listening to Scary Stories and Screenplays. I hope you come back for more.